Hey everyone, this is Luke. Here's what happened. We had to record the Fump podcast today kind of on 2 hours' notice because I screwed up. I'll talk more about that later. But as we were waiting for Devo Spice to arrive on Skype, me and Chris Mezzalesta and Kyle were just kind of screwing around, and some of it was kind of wacky and funny. So that's what the beginning of this is. If you want to skip past it, skip ahead about 7 minutes. And then there's a song by TV's Kyle's wonderful significant other, Lindsay, which lasts about another 5 to 6 minutes. And then after that, the podcast proper begins. So I figured I'd leave this all in here since some of it was wacky and funny, but others of you might not think it is. So you can just skip past it. Like I said, about 7 minutes of talking and then 5 or 6 minutes of song, and then the theme song kicks in and the show properly begins as it should. So again, my apologies to Steve Goody for not being in this episode, which was my fault, which I'll deride myself for later. And now here is some awkwardly sounding things at the beginning of this podcast, Fumpcast, Funny Music Podcast, episode 50. Here we go. Right about, oh, let's say, now.
Oh man! Speaking of that, when are you guys going to record the next Luke and Terry podcast?
We actually have to record it later than usual on the calendar because of a very busy week, the week following Memorial Day. So we're probably not going to record another episode until Sunday, the 5th of June.
Okay, I have a little time. In response to the last episode, I'm planning on recording a quick little a cappella number called "Thank You, Blasted Bill, We Totally Needed to Know You Had Sex."
Bravo!
Enough comedy jokes. There's a little bit of Jelly Roll Vayburn right there.
That's like the, this is like the next generation of Bald Box. We'll just get on Skype and make up an album over an hour and then sell it.
Oh, the first Skype-based album. Of course it would be a Dementia Act.
Oh. We're so doing that.
Right now, in the hour I have between now and when I have to go.
How you guys like the album so far now, huh? In the chat room.
This is my favorite track.
Here's one from...
So meta.
Track one
here's
is
called
one from All
Pine
I
Top
is...
Cowl.
Scoop, 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 dip, 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 dip.
Thank you.
It's like if I decided to make an entire album out of Grumbledy.
It says here that, no, Steve is not, oh, you, oh, no. No Steve, no Devo.
No, it's now this is my favorite track.
No Steve, no Devo.
My favorite track is track 9.
Number 9? No Steve, no Devo.
Okay, just right. I'm asking the people in the channel, do you in fact hear my voice and Chris's voice and Kyle's voice? Chris and Kyle, say things right now.
Things right now.
First you get the Steve, then you get the Devo, then you get the women.
So there. Everyone let me know if you heard all that just now.
I want to live. I want to give.
I'm recording now, by the way, just because why the hell not?
I say you put it all on.
So let me preface the show by explaining to everybody how this is my fault. Okay, good to hear everybody. Basically, I just have a lot of things going on simultaneously right now. I'm preparing for a convention in Kansas City. Just lots of other personal projects. Trying to coordinate about 38 other people into something. Somewhere along the line, my brain just dropped the ball on the fact that, oh, I'm going to be leaving for Kansas City on Thursday, So I can't do the Fumpcast live. And on Wednesday night, I'm going to do something with my mom and Pete and Sarah. And it just occurred to me today, like, oh, crap, when are we going to record the Fumpcast? I guess we'll have to do it tonight right now. So I as soon as I figured that out, like, a few hours ago, I tried to get a hold of Devo and Kyle and Steve Goody, and I haven't actually specifically touched base with Steve yet. So if Steve doesn't appear in this episode, it's my fault for screwing this whole thing up. So we'll just have to blame me and talk about how awesome Steve Goody is and his awesome track.
And Steve not appearing in this episode.
Yes. And if nothing else, he could appear maybe in the following episode or something, and we can, you know, have him, you know, talk about the track, because it's a super epic track, and he totally deserves to be on this podcast talking about it. But I screwed up, so anyway, I could play some music, I suppose.
I could have played some too.
I'm sorry, Chris.
So now what?
Actually, Luke, I have a track that's going up on the sideshow that I helped Lindsay and her friend Sam make. It's a 6-minute long track and would probably buy us that much time.
Okay. So you could play.
You could like sign in and get it. I don't know what kind of powers you guys have, or I could just send it to you over Skype here.
Why don't you can you email it to me?
Oh, you know what? I can just email you the link.
Oh, yes.
Because it's the sideshow, and that means I had to upload it. Let me quick figure that out.
Exclusive.
So who wants a new Cirque du Soleil What album?
Yes.
Everyone.
Everyone in the world wants one, Chris. You can stop asking now.
Okay.
We need more catchphrases.
We need more straight-laced normal businesses to have a guy walk into, and then things happen. Are you guys still there? Hello?
We are.
Okay.
I gave you the link there.
Chris, are you still there?
Hard.
Oh, okay.
That was...
Yes!
That was utterly bizarre.
Oh, I see.
There is no engine.
That's an awesome title. Let me see if I can... Yes, things are working. Yes, coming very shortly, a exclusive track...
Wow!
TV's Kyle and Lindsay, the Captain and Tennille of 2011.
The band name we're rolling with is Aw, right?
Oh, good Lord.
We got, like, all over the country representing, I think, tonight, right? Or everybody except Mountain Time. We'd have to get Spaff on here to gab all four time zones. Because I believe Spaff is the only demented artist, the artist that lives in the Mountain Time Zone. I could be wrong about that.
Okay, well, I have the track queued up. So,
yay!
So now we will play this for everyone to hear, and then hopefully by the time this is done, Devo will have arrived. So,
see?
All right, here we go.
Honey, did you see those robots in the garage? Are you sure that isn't the car? We can never be sure what the robot's about.
Robots.
Robots. Wall F.
C-Poopio.
Artedetum.
Transformers.
Robert the Ribbon. I don't know his name, but he
Ribbit
looked...
the Robot Frog!
He looked really angry. He didn't have the look of a nice young man.
Trust them, they'll kill everyone you care.
outside without a monitor.
Uncle Charles, you never had any ointment.
Then where's my tobacco?
Robots that start with the letter I, and they're all evil too. They got buttons you can press that just turn into other buttons. How is that useful to me at all?
That's too many buttons, I don't understand.
I like my Jitterbug cell phone. It's got 9 buttons plus 1 for call and hang up. That's plenty of buttons. Charles, you got to just learn to behave now. This is why we have to send you to a special doctor.
We're trying to record a serious recording to let the people know about the robots.
Taking my pills.
Scaring the dog.
Eating my corn.
The cats in a tree, she won't come down because of robots.
Breaking my house with their faces.
Jack Lemmon was 2 robots taped together.
Called the robot, that's just as bad.
It's unholy.
Oh wait, I was thinking of spiders.
Uncle Charlie, you got way more coherent all of a sudden. You've learned to use and form full sentences. That's a good boy.
Spiders!
I've seen those robots. You've seen that movie Wild Wild West. They got a big old robot spider in that movie. But those are 2 things that are not as mashed and corn quality.
Oh, and mashed corn. That's really good.
Honey Smith is a hologram.
Honey, you got that corn out for dinner later.
I did.
That's
like you like.
That's good. Did you put the robot protecting over it? Which is to say, did you duct tape it thoroughly?
Duct tape the corn and no robots will be taking this can.
Robots cannot see through tape. The tape. It's really a good system. You keep your corn fresh and cane intact with no robot marks of any kind. Robots.
Don't care for them.
They take my pills.
They frighten the dog.
They look real weird.
They steal the newspaper.
Made of metal and cans.
They're living in the trees.
I look outside my window and I see them. Seen that movie with the robot, and his name was Mach 5, staying alive, and he looked sweet and cute, but he was disingenuous. Lost the robots in the war, lost the war to the robots. Mama getting her pills.
Recorded live on DementiaRadio.org, it's the Funny Music Podcast, brought to you by TheFump.com, where you can download new free comedy songs twice a week. Now, here's your hosts, Devo Spice and the great Luke Ski.
How's that ice cream, Devo?
It's awesome, Luke Ski.
We have TV's Kyle.
Oh, hello.
And playing the part of Steve Goody is Chris Mezzalesta.
Kyle! I want Kyle!
Sounds just like Steve.
Couldn't get Steve on?
I could not, and I'll repeat really quick what happened to everybody. I screwed up. I was so busy preparing for the convention this week and dealing with all kinds of coordination of things involving dozens of people that I completely spaced on the fact that I am going to be unable to do the Fumpcast on Thursday or Wednesday night, and I realized that about a couple hours ago, and I went, holy crap, we have to figure out when we're recording the Fumpcast. It's going to have to be tonight, right now, essentially. Fortunately, Kyle was able to get some time in to talk to us before he heads off to see Marc Maron perform.
Yeah.
And I was unable to get a hold of Steve Goody, so it's my fault he's not on the show this week, and I apologize to Steve profusely. Perhaps we could have him on next week, stuff. So, yeah.
That's... I like Steve Goody. He makes funny song.
Yes, and furthermore, the wonderful Chris Mazzalesta was kind enough to let us hornswoggle the Cream Cheese Library on Dementia Radio so we could actually cast this live as we're recording it, so the folks in Dementia Radio can chat with us live as we do on Thursdays normally. So thank you, Chris.
If we're actually live, I will then tweet that.
Yes, do so.
Tweet with extreme prejudice.
The tweet will read this: Luke fucked up, so turn on Dementia Radio right now.
I'll make that the hashtag.
We'll give you a dollar.
Joey fucked up, so I want to hear everybody say, Joey fucked up. Joey fucked up! Wait, one more time. Joey fucked up! You guys are fucking mean. This has been Anthrax Recreation Theater.
So Luke calls me as I'm in the car on the way to Wendy's to get some ice cream for me and my wife. So I'm finishing up my Twisted Frosty right now. And I got to say, just screw Wendy's, man. They just, everything that I really, really like there, they keep taking away from me. First it was the Chicken Caesar Pita, and now they discontinued the Chocolate Chip Cookie Dough Twisted Frosty.
Oh, man.
Man, I've been trying to, like, avoid eating any sort of fast food, yet they had these really sweet Pac-Man, like, kids' meal things, so I ended up, like, just buying all the toys off eBay, and I simultaneously felt like a champ and, like, the biggest nerd who ever nerded a nerd.
Champs and chumps.
Back nerd. In my day, Frosties only had one flavor. It was Frosty flavor, and it was cold.
And we had to drink them uphill, both ways!
And we were happy to have it, boy.
So, Devo, do you have any statements prepared as to what you've been doing the past week?
I have absolutely nothing prepared.
Good. Let's just talk to Kyle then. So back when Kyle was a boy, there were shows about dinosaurs and people who fight people in spandex costumes and colors.
Yep.
And you have combined these things.
I have.
Why?
Why? I'll tell you why, Luke. I really wish I had something just super awesome to say immediately after. That sounds like a really great song cue. Well, I... I wrote this song, like the first version of the song, back when both of these things were new, back when I was 15, and back before I really knew what a TV's Kyle song was. And, you know, I no longer have a copy of it because, well, I'm sure I have it on one of these tapes somewhere. I don't really have anything that plays tapes currently. But that's probably for the best because I just kind of took the parts that I remembered and included them and then just wrote new stuff for the rest of it. But basically, the reason I suddenly did this is because I was going through this T-shirt site and I saw that somebody had actually made a shirt that was, you know... I don't know if you've ever seen these T-shirts that look like they're like part of the Power Rangers uniform, just like that part of it in T-shirt form.
Yeah,
yeah.
They actually made a Barney one with like Barney's like silhouetted head where the, you know, dinosaur emblem on the Power Rangers chest should be. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like that song I recorded a really long time ago. This is retro now. I can record it again.
Nice.
That's cool.
I mean, especially, you know... Part of the reason it made me feel like this might be okay to do is because, like, I jokingly said that in the description, but I kind of mean it. Like, Luke has been recording these, like, old ideas that he had left behind that are actually kind of retro now. And so they have, like, sort of a new charm that they might not have had for the past 10 years and now once again have.
Aren't Power Rangers and Barney still on the air?
Amazingly so. Yeah, there's a Power Rangers series currently going on Nickelodeon, and Barney... who sounds considerably different now and actually is being voiced by the same guy who currently voices Chuck E. Cheese. That's also still going, or at least was in, as recently as 2009.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they're not like, I know my kids watched, you know, three episodes of Barney and then we put a stop to that, but they didn't like it, so it would, they didn't care.
Yeah, it's something I would have gladly ignored, but my sister was young enough to be watching that at the time and watched a whole lot of it.
I watched a whole lot of Power Rangers. I watched it basically until Kimberly left the show.
Yeah, I watched it. I enjoyed the first season of it, and then it started, you know.
Don't tell me it started getting stupid, because it was stupid from day one.
No, it started getting less stupid, and that was the problem.
Oh.
I liked it nice and dumb.
I heard somebody say that I liked the first season or like the first two seasons of Power Rangers, and then it got really dumb. And I'm like, dude, did you watch the first season of Power Rangers? It was really dumb right from the get-go.
Yeah, the minute it started caring about what it was and got any less cheap looking, it lost all of its charm for me.
Well, you know, it was like two or three other shows like merged together with the American footage, right?
I do. A few years ago, I decided to like check out one of the Japanese versions, and I saw Maho Rangers, which is like some year they were doing a magic theme.
Uh-huh.
And like over here, they tried to make it into like this Lord of the Rings kind of thing. But over there, it was just flat out cheap, stupid, fantastic. It's still good over there.
Lots of things are still good in Japan. We tend to screw them up when we bring them over here.
It's,
the hell you
there's,
say?
There's a song by Ugly the Mock. I think the song is called Tommy because they like to give their songs titles that, you know, aren't exactly what they should be. But I'm trying to remember how the song begins. It's like, you know, I was hanging with my friend Tommy. He's only 6.3 years old. I said, is it me or has Power Rangers really gone to shit this season? And he turned and said to me, I know. I said that Turbo movie was stupid. He said I didn't even go. And then it goes on with stuff like that in the choruses. Everything good turns to crap. Eventually, and that's when Tommy said, isn't that just the way it is? It's a really awesome song.
I forgot.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Power Rangers movie.
Yeah, I never watched the Power Rangers TV series. I mean, I caught parts of it just so I had a clue what it was. I know I went and I saw the movie, the first one, just because I felt like I should, you know. You know, like, you know, back when you do improv comedy at like a place like Comedy Sports, you have to keep on top of what's going on so that if somebody shouts out Power Rangers, you know what the hell you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm like, I have to have at least
that's
some.
Your excuse. Okay.
Yeah.
See, at least I'm man enough to admit that I thought Kimberly was hot and that was the only reason I watched the show.
I'm trying to remember. Oh. I just spaced out. I liked Bulk and Skull. I remember those guys. I thought they were funny. So,
yeah, I liked them.
It's kind of funny how nobody from that show is famous now. Like, well, you think there would be, like, one breakout star. Oh, God, did you know that guy started the Power Rangers? What? Yes. No, none of that.
Well, the girl who played Kimberly, Amy Jo Johnson, she went on to do a whole bunch of other stuff.
I
know, because I kind of followed her. Well, she could actually act a little bit. I mean, the rest of them were just horrible. I know a couple of them. The guy who played Zach, the black guy, he went on to do like some other kids. Yeah, I think it was Space Cases, like some other kids show. But Amy Jo Johnson got a supporting role on Felicity for a while. And she starred in a couple of made for TV movies and, I think she did a couple of direct-to-DVD movies, too. I don't know what she's doing now. She was trying to do a music career for a while because she can sing, too.
I think a lot of the rest of them do mainly the Power Ranger con circuit, which exists.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know there's at least some people in the Dimension community who are still Power Rangers fans to some degree, so I'm sure they all appreciated the song. How did you make the music? Because you got a lot of that kind of chiptune-y sounding music in there.
The music, I started out just kind of playing around with like different beat presets in GarageBand, and then of course changing the drum set on them until they sounded like something I liked. But I don't know. I just kind of sat down and started recording. Like, I knew what the chorus sounded like because that's essentially what the old one sounded like, but I couldn't remember how the choruses went. So I just started playing chords until. You know, and actually, when I sat down to record it, I was planning on just rapping through the verses because that's what I had done in the original. I'm like, wow, this is really boring. And so I just started singing what sounded right there. And so that's just sort of a first thing that came to mind, verse melody.
Yeah, I just remembered when I went to see Jurassic Park for the first time, it was at a movie theater in Burlington, Wisconsin, near where I grew up. And there was a sign taped to the box office that was like handwritten that said, you know, Jurassic Park is a intense PG-13 action film. This is not a Barney kind of movie. And I'm just thinking like, wow, it's so sad that, you know, in this, you know, not exactly a little town, but, you know, here we are in Wisconsin, you know, and they felt the need to put that sign up because too many people were just going to be like, oh, it has dinosaurs. I'll bring my 3-year-old. And, you know,
I am sure that had some sort of precedent. What do you mean I can't bring my kids to Jaws?
Sarah just reminded us we saw people bringing who brought their 2-year-old to the movie Watchmen.
Oh, God.
Nice.
Well, here's some big blue Wang, little kids.
And now we're going to listen to Here's Some Big Blue Wang on the Cream Cheese Library, Dementia Radio. Hey.
I'm in love with a big blue Wang. A big blue Wang loves me.
Ridiculous.
Sarah is laughing a lot right now. She's trying not to spit Chipotle all over her monitor.
Comedy pyramid.
And there's a spider upstairs.
Okay. And on that note, it's time for...
Kyle and Luke will talk about Dunes and alienate half of the audience.
While Devo downloads some porn.
Okay, so first of all...
I like the sound effects implication that Devo is actually running around while masturbating.
It's calisthenics, you know?
So, don't knock until you tried it. I'm all, you know...
Gotta get my exercise in somehow. So,
so I've watched the Fanboy and Chum Chum Season 2 episodes, and it's an interesting, funny show. It's wacky. It's one of those things where, like, the science fiction nerd in me is, like, saying, well, I really don't know what the origin of these characters is, so, and it's, but, you know, the real is, it's like, it's just a weird, stupid cartoon. I probably shouldn't concern myself with that too much,
I assume. Exactly. I found myself enjoying the show more, you know, before I'd worked on the show, I'd watched the first episode, I was like, yeah, I guess, and then when I, like, had to sit down and watch... All of them before I started working on it, I found that marathoning them, I enjoyed them a lot more, both because I got used to the pace of it and, like, the rules of it, but I let go any semblance of wanting continuity. Like, okay, got it. 3 episodes in, on board. Bring me the next one.
Cool. I mean, I guess the thing that probably turned me off and I didn't start watching it when it first came on is because I didn't like the idea of there being a specific cartoon character named Fanboy. Because I just kind of felt like that, you know, I've been trying to get that term, you know, more into the national consciousness so that people knew what it meant, you know, beyond, you know, just the Kevin Smith fans.
And he's not even the first cartoon character named Fanboy. There was Fanboy from Freakazoid.
Yes, who was voiced by Steven Furst, if I remember correctly. So I don't know, but watching the show, I mean, it's definitely out there, and it's just it's like you said with the whole trying to keep it as cartoony as possible while still being a CGI cartoon. It's like there's some really great animation on there. So yeah.
Yeah, our overseas guys are just incredible. I mean, we are drawing things that I feel like haven't really been done. You know, nobody's been asked to do in CG before. So, you know. Well, sometimes we do have a guy whose job it is to say, oh my God, we can't do that. What the hell is wrong with you guys? But the amount of things that we can get away with are pretty incredible.
That's cool. So, okay, I actually sent myself some notes to talk to you about cartoon stuff because I didn't want to forget. I assume you've been watching the Looney Tunes show?
I I watched the first episode and can't really bring myself to watch the rest of them.
I've been watching them, and my impression is that this is a show that Luke Ski will like. However, nobody else will like this show. It's like, you know, when it's the movies Space Jam and Looney Tunes Back in Action, the things about those two movies that I liked the most was the interaction between Bugs and Daffy, like, you know, as these old friends who have been around for decades and you know, the kind of their relationship with each other. So the notion of doing a sitcom with Bugs and Daffy, it's like, oh, well, that seems cool. But
I don't mind the notion. I have a higher tolerance for the notion than, yeah, you know, other animator types do. You know, other ones, other folks wouldn't probably have even, like, sat down, watched it, and accepted anything other than something that was exactly old Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that from it. I didn't need that from it. I was ready to go, like, okay, their setup is that this is, you know, a sitcom starring the Looney Tunes characters, like, those personalities in a Seinfeld setting. Fine, I can deal with that. I found the pacing really slow. I found Daffy too out of character, dumb to tolerate. I wanted the look of it to actually be more like I don't know if you saw any of the drawings of Jessica Borowski's character designs before,
yeah,
they started animating it. I thought they dumbed it down too much when they started animating it. Like, if you see, like, the poses, even the opening theme, it's like, oh, wow, those are great, crazy poses. Like, I feel like if I was looking at that instead of, like, you know, the dumbed down version that the storyboard artists were more comfortable with drawing, then I would like the look of it more.
Yeah. And there was an episode they did where they introduced the character of Lola Bunny, and she's really different from the way she was in Space Jam. I mean, they really haven't
Voiced by Kristen Wiig, right?
I didn't notice, because, of course, the way TV shows are now, especially on places like Cartoon Network, you don't get to see the credits, you know, so you have to, like, go online to figure out stuff like that, because they smoosh the credits down to, like, a 2x8-inch square, so you can't read anything, you know.
Yeah,
so,
you know, for example, Adventure Time actually has a really nice closing credits song that you never get to see or hear. If you ever, like, download an episode from iTunes, then you can actually see it, and it's quite nice.
I'll have to check that out. But yeah, they turned...
Ooh, that's something I did this week.
What?
I downloaded the Doctor Who from iTunes. I bought the season pass, so I'm finally catching up on this season's Doctor Who.
Awesome.
Carry on.
Okay.
Yes, Devo downloaded all the Doctor Who ever from iTunes, thus filling up any computer.
You'd need a TARDIS to download that much Doctor Who.
Indeed.
So... So, anyway, the point I was going to make about Lola is that, not that they've done much with her, you know, since Space Jam, but in Space Jam, she seemed to be this, like, you know, strong character, like, independent woman who didn't, you know, put up with, you know, stupid guff from the boys. And in this incarnation, she's just kind of this weird, babbly, like psycho-obsessive girlfriend type of character. And it's like, wow, that's completely different from how she was before. So... I don't know. It's
yeah. I've seen the clips of that. It's yeah. I guess they just decided to go, you know what? Let's just start from scratch there.
Yeah. So my final note that I thought, because I'm making this book of suggestions for different body and background things people can do for caricatures, and I'm trying to, like, hit every major thing in pop culture from the past 10 or 15 years. So I was working on some, like, you know, Disney characters. Oh, I'm going to do a 2-page spread of Pixar characters. And I, you know, did Toy Story and Monsters, Inc. and blah, 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 blah. And then I got to Cars, and I'm like, okay, I can't really do caricatures of people as the Cars characters, because that's way too of a specific thing that I'd have to learn how to do to draw people as vehicles and make it really work. So I'm like, well, I'll just draw somebody, like, you know, I'll just Lightning McQueen and Mater, and then just have, like, a kid standing there holding a little checkered flag. So then when I did that, it occurred to me, you know, once again, that whole kind of Mystery Science Theater 3000 of, you know, why am I so concerned about the origins of things? It's like, in this Cars world...
No, I don't.
Where are the humans? Why aren't they there? And, like, I just thought, wouldn't it be cool to, like, as this would be like a good gag for, like, a Family Guy cutaway bit where it's like, you know, there's Lightning McQueen, and then, like, a human walks up and, like, opens his car door. It's like, oh my God, what are you doing? And then he gets inside. Ah, he's inside me. Ah, you know.
That notion always makes me immediately think of that scene at the end of, like, I think it was the first episode of the Clerks animated series, where suddenly the Korean animators have taken the over the episode and it turns into anime. And there's a transformer and people, like, get into, like, it turns into a car. People get into it to go, like, be rescued from where they are. And then suddenly it drives somewhere else, transforms, and it's just a bloody mess as all the people inside the car are crushed inside. But you know, Luke, what you could do is, have you ever heard of that that video game? It might have been on Dreamcast, called Seaman, where basically it was like a human head attached to a fish's body, just like a realistic human head attached to a fish's body, and you would like talk to it and it would curse at you or something like that. If you just like did a car, just like had a car with a human face, like a human head, like an entire human head, not just like the way it is in cars, just a head stuck to the front of a car, and then you had like Lightning and Mater in the background looking incredibly confused at it. I think that would work.
I'll see. maybe if I'm really bored one day and, you know, there's some kids there, maybe I could just say, hey, do you mind if, you know, do like a demo sketch and just try something? So, but yeah.
So, speaking of new cartoons, have you seen the cartoon that I think normally comes after new Looney Tunes show, Gumball?
I've seen the commercials for it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Watch Gumball. It is so frigging funny. Like, for people who haven't seen it, it's about this blue cat, his brother named Darwin, who is a fish with legs, and his folks. And, like, the humor in it is just so – do you know what I mean when I say dumb smart? They're doing dumb things, but they're, like, communicating it to us, the audience, in this very smart, self-aware way.
Yeah.
And it's also got, like, this unique, like, multimedia look to it where, you know – Gumball and his family are a certain drawing style, but then if you meet any other families, they're in a completely different drawing style, or they might be stop motion, or they might be 3D.
Yeah.
And I think all the backgrounds are actually photographs.
Yeah, I saw the commercials for it, and I'm like, wow, that looks like a really interestingly created show. But I haven't set my TiVo for it yet. I'll check that out.
DVR the crap out of that. It's really good.
So is there anything else you'd like to plug at this time before we play your song?
Go to tvskyleband.com all the time to find out what I'm doing. And also, please go to Dumb Comics and check out Frog, Raccoon, Strawberry every Friday. Check out the latest strip. I put Shoebox in it for no good reason.
Cool. And Devo Spice, is there anything else you've downloaded on iTunes you want to tell us about before we go?
Rather not, no.
Okay. And Chris Mazzalesta, Honey Mustard?
Okay.
We'll be back in a few minutes. But for right now, here is Barney the Purple Ranger by TV's Kyle on the Funny Music Podcast. Here we go.
Back when I was a lad of 15 or so, I liked to keep my dial on the Fox Kids shows. There was Zeke the Cat, the Pirate Mad Jack, Bob's World, and Animaniacs. But one day I saw a thing I can't comprehend, something I never ever saw again. A crossover nobody wanted to see, I swear I saw on my TV.
Barney the Purple Ranger.
It was big and naughty, he was reading to the putties.
Barney the Purple Ranger.
It seemed very, very wrong to hear him sing the theme song. I thought for a moment I was on the wrong channel, but I could see Jason there chilling in his vinyl. Seems Rita Repulsa and the Mighty Lord Zedd have kidnapped Baby Bop, who they'd like to see dead. So far, I'd have to say I'm on the villain side, plus it's hard to pretend that I don't mind watching a giggling, wiggling, wriggling dino feel so bad at martial arts that he looks like a wino.
Barney the Purple Ranger.
Did I hallucinate this? Did I actually see it?
Barney the Purple Ranger.
If it's a fever dream, then fine, so be it. Never ever save Baby Bop with arms too tiny to karate chop. He can't wear the helmet cause his head's gigantic. Instead his hand fixes moves are frantic.
I was gonna change the channel cause I was getting bored. But then he did a thing that couldn't be ignored. He called BJ and said he dunked it with his magical sword and became the giant robot idiot sword. He fell over and destroyed a giant monster. He saved Baby Bop, now a word from our sponsor. I turned off the tube and I took a nap. It's kinda hard to recover from that.
Barney the Purple Ranger.
It was a show I couldn't unsee.
Barney the Purple Ranger.
It's not on YouTube, so you'll have to trust me.
Barney the Purple Ranger. Barney the Purple Ranger.
Barney the Purple Ranger. A program that could not be strangers.
My friends, I, as always, am Dr. Milo T. Pinkerton III, founder and leader of the Consortium of Genius, otherwise known as the COG. I said the COG!
COG!
And I am here with even more Predictions of Science! Former civil engineer, author, and biblical scholar Harold Camping claims that the world will end this Saturday, on May 21st, 2011. The Mayans, however, predicted that the world will end on December 21st, 2012. Of the two, I am more willing to side with the Mayans, as they have proven themselves firsthand to be experts in the field of mass extinction. However, we at the COG know that they are both wrong! Our delicate doomsday detecting devices have calculated to within plus or minus 24 hours that the world will in fact end on March 10th, 2012. The epicenter of this event will not be, as so many have predicted, the Middle East, but in fact, the Midwest. To be precise, the Crown Plaza Hotel and Suites in Bloomington, Minnesota. By an astounding coincidence, during that time, the hotel will be hosting an annual event called MarsCon, which not only features a gathering of the region's finest minds in the field of science, but also includes a track of music acts suffering from dementia. So, using my usual powers of persuasion, and with a generous grant from the Fools philanthropists at dementoradio.org, I have secured the Consortium of Genius the esteemed position of Music Guest of Honor at MarsCon 2012. Again, that is MarsCon 2012, March 9th through 11th, 2012, at the Crown Plaza Hotel and Suites in Bloomington, Minnesota, just across from the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport and next to the Mall of America. To register and for hotel and other information, visit marscon.org. So, join the Consortium of Genius, March 2012, as we will be rocking the apocalypse and determining conclusively, once and for all, just who will have the honor of bringing about the end of the world. Could it be this guy, for instance? Not as long as we've got these blackmail pictures. No! I believe it will be somebody a little closer to home, as it were. Now bow to the COG!
COG!
Thank you, and have a nice day.
Time for funny music news. Something, something, something. And again, the promo was longer than the song that preceded it.
That's quite all right. I didn't have time to collect any news or anything for this week, but I do have a couple things I can talk about. First of all, speaking of the COG, they haven't been announced yet, but I got special permission from Hex to talk about this. The Consortium of Genius have been added to the lineup at Nerdapalooza. So the weekend of July 15th through 17th, Nerdapalooza is taking place in Orlando, Florida, with the great Luke Ski, Devo Spice, Insane Ian, and now the Consortium of Genius, and a couple dozen other nerdcore rapper type people. I'm really excited about that. I totally think the COG is going to own Nerdapalooza.
Yes, yes.
And I found out there is another big comedy music thing going on right around that same time, July 13th in Long Beach, California. Tyrone Khan, once again, is putting on Con Manapalooza. This one features Raymond and Scum, Dino Mike, TV's Kyle, Throwing Toasters, and Tony Goldmark.
Oh, hi, dear.
So Kyle will be there.
Yay, making a rare live appearance.
Yay.
So, Kyle, do you need to get going?
Yeah, I should probably head out, guys.
Okay.
Cool. Well, thank you for being on.
Sure. Have a fumpy day.
Bye.
That sounded like TV's Kyle.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ooh, hoo, hoo.
So let me just run down tour dates for the next week. We have this coming up this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, in Baltimore, Maryland, with Balticon. We have Devo Spice, Worm Quartet, Rob Balder, and Insane Ian. And a couple other people are going to be like Dr. Seti and Norm Sherman are both going to be there. Also this weekend in Kansas City, Missouri, we have the Great Luke Ski at Conquest.
Woohoo!
And in Dearborn, Michigan, we have Tom Smith at the World Steampunk Expo. And in Orlando, Florida, on the 27th, we have Carla Ulbrich. And in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, we have Jonathan Colton and Paul and Storm. And then on the 28th, they are going to be in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And the following weekend, on June 3rd through 5th, Carla Ulbrich is going to be in Con Carolinas in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the Gotsicles are going to be in Green Bay, Wisconsin on Saturday, June 4th. And that's as far as I will go.
Excellent. So, I suppose I should look at Skype to see if Steve Goody has magically reappeared. It appears not.
Aww.
I don't want to... Should I try calling him again?
If you want, sure.
Yeah. Let's have a vote on the chat room. How many... What? No.
I just feel so bad. I screwed up.
We all hate you, Luke. Yeah, come on.
I've tried to do nice things for people.
No.
And
problem.
Why doesn't everyone give me a break?
Maybe because I'm evil. Why is that so bad?
If they ever bring that back and Clay Croker can't be on it, boy, I'd so be Zorak.
You could totally.
Actually, that's where I keep my Mentos. Ding! Das Freshmaker!
Okay, I'll try calling them one more time. Again, okay. Let's remind everyone, this is my fault. I screwed up.
Did we get it?
Okay. Are you sure?
Yes, we get it.
Luke fucked up. Luke fucked up. Luke fucked up. Luke fucked up.
No, that's not it.
We have hold music or something we can play. There you go.
Yeah.
I got his voicemail again. I guess we'll just have to...
Ah, bummer.
I guess we'll have to proceed without him. So, Everything You Know Is Wrong, which is track one from the forthcoming Weird Al tribute album, 26 and a half.
Indeed. And one of the comments I was reading, DJ Particle said that she assumes Al knows about the song or has heard the song because it's on the Fump. Maybe, maybe not. she says, I assume Al approved it. I don't know about that, but Jay Levy is aware that the song is on the Fump. So everything is kosher with the song being on the Fump.
That's good. I mean, Steve has gotten permission in the past for his song Dumbledore. So we know that, yeah. You know.
Well, that was a parody. This is a straight cover. And yeah. With straight covers, there's legal licenses and stuff, whereas parody is more of a gray area. You can usually get away without stuff like that.
Well, yeah, but the point being that, you know, Steve has had to have those connections in the past, so he, you know, we're all assuming that maybe he has them again this time around, so I don't know. We'll find out. At least we know in the grand scheme of things that, you know, Al and his crew are aware of the tribute album, so, you know, They know that.
Yes, he definitely is aware of the album because I told him about it myself when I saw him at the book signing.
Cool, cool.
I told him it was definitely going to be happening. I didn't know when at the time, but so Al is aware of the tribute album existing.
I did my pre-order today. It's $12 plus $2 shipping, so it's a $14 purchase. It's got 20 tracks on it. This is just one of... I'm assuming there's going to be other tracks from it posted at the FUMP eventually, but I could be wrong.
There's at least one more in the queue already.
Yeah.
Don't you get a copy for being on it?
I don't know, but I figured I'd support anyway.
Okay.
I just kind of felt like, you know...
Because I'm kind of working under the assumption that I'm getting a copy.
Well, you know, when I signed up for the FUMP, I was under the impression that artists would get a copy, but no...
That's too much of a cost to give every artist a copy of every CD that they're on.
Quit your whining.
Are you talking?
That's where the artists get the special discount rate if they want to buy one. Well, that and then they can sell it too.
Anyway, so Christmas Alesta.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was downloading porn.
That's perfectly fine. Please take a moment to expand and expound upon the musical genius of Steve Goody and his work with this particular composition. Or you can just say the word tile.
Tile?
Okay.
That tile? Yes. I look forward to hearing Steve Goody's esteemed musical prowess on said track because, as I have been... busy at work here in Spitting Otter Studios doing lots of musicking for another upcoming, well, a whole buttload of upcoming dementia-related. I have not yet had the pleasure of experiencing Steve Goody's musical prowess. But I have experienced it on many other tracks, though, in the past. So, and I've had dinner with him. Hey,
yep.
It's like, I know that guy. Wow.
I think I was there. We had lunch at the Mall of America.
You was there, and we had all different kinds of ethnic non-fast foodie things going on, and lots of demented discussions going on. But I would have to think that knowing this particular tune, that Steve will have to have the judges, the former East German judges, expound upon whether Steve. Really sufficiently and succinctly captures the ska influence, as in the whole style genre of Everything You Know Is Wrong. And of course, you guys are, of course, aware, and everybody I would imagine is aware of the origin of the title Everything You Know Is Wrong. Yeah,
that would be Fire Sign Theater.
It would indeed be a Fire Sign Theater album, which, in fact, I played exactly on this very, well, not this very program, but the program which is normally on in this time slot just 1 week ago tonight. I played the entire Fire Sign Theater album by that same name.
Yes, I was listening.
You indeed were. I remember.
I forgot what I was doing at the time, but I was listening.
You were doing something, I recall. But basically, it's just saying that everything that you've been brought up to believe is not right. And in fact, dogs flew spaceships. The Aztecs invented the vacation. Men and women are the same sex. Our forefathers took drugs. And your brain is not the boss. So I believe that Al pretty much suspended reality and went on his own wonderful tangent, as he always does, and did that kind of thing. And I'm looking forward to seeing how Steve... copped the style and or whether he put his own take on it. So that's just a really roundabout way of saying I haven't heard it yet. I'm sorry.
Well, the other thing about this track is that it is a style parody of They Might Be Giants.
Oh, this is true.
Yes.
Yes, because of the very it'll be interesting to see if he does in fact cop the baritone sax in the middle of the tune, and if he does, was it a real Barry Sax or was it a MIDI-fied one, as we are all wont to use in these days of home recording?
Well, those of us who were at MarsCon at the Dementia Smackdown this year...
I wasn't there, I'm sorry.
Steve Goody's opening... he was the opening track of the SmackDown, and rather than actually singing this song, he lip-synced it, but he had the boys from Nuclear Bubble Wrap on band with their instruments, you know, like mock playing and mock singing this song, and it was such a high-energy, frenetic thing where they were just kind of running around and jumping and, like, switching off instruments between each other, and it was it was quite a great kickoff to the SmackDown.
So, it was indeed.
So it's kind of like, you know, everyone who saw it then, you know, got the sneak preview, and now it's available on the Fump, and it'll soon be on 26.5. So yeah,
that was where I debuted right my Weird Al song too.
Hmm.
That was where I debuted my Weird Al song too.
Yes, it was.
I would have had a song on this tribute album. I was invited, but certain events transpired in my personal life and precluded my getting a song together for said tribute album. So I feel left out again. Although I am on the first tribute album, Prosthetic Lips, but nobody knows it.
Are you really?
I am. I provided the instrumental backing and production for Mark Maps Fannin's version of Christmas at Ground Zero, which was recorded at the studio under the stairs back up in Mentor, Ohio.
Yeah,
but I'm not credited.
I'm on 26.5, and that makes me happy because it's the first time I've been on one of these Weird Al tribute albums.
Hey.
So, yay! And I sent the track over to Insane Ian because he was curious to hear it, and he told me today that he liked it and thought it was good. So I'm like, yay! Somebody likes the song. But anyway, I'll keep my mouth shut on it so that the people can, you know, experience it when the album comes out. Is there other stuff we can mention here about Steve or his song at this point?
Probably not.
He does a lot of music.
Yes. SteveGoody.com is his website. If you would like to purchase CDs, you can get them there. Also, he has stuff in the Fump store, I believe, right?
Yes, he does.
All right, cool. Well,
he doesn't do any songs about Harry Potter by chance, does he?
Once in a while, when the muse strikes him.
Yes. Remember that thing I said earlier about how, like, oh, I'll go see things because I feel like I need to know about them for, you know, the purpose of doing comedy or whatever?
Yeah.
I, as much as I believe in that, I still can't bring myself to see any of the Twilight movies. it's like, screw it, I don't have to make jokes that are accurate. I don't care. I'm not going to see it. You know, because then I do jokes about Twilight, and people in the audience are Twilight fans, and they'll tell me, everything you know is wrong! Ah!
I thought that was your cue to start the music playing. I was waiting for it, man.
I was hanging back.
Okay. Here it is right now, then.
Rabbit Wolverine in my underwear, when suddenly a guy behind me in the backseat popped right up and cupped his hands across my eyes. I guessed, is it Uncle Frank or Cousin Louie? Is it Bob or Joe or Walter? Could it be Bill or Jim or Ed or Bernie or Al? I probably would have kept on guessing, but about that time we crashed into the truck. And as I'm laying bleeding there on the asphalt, finally I recognize the face of my hibachi dealer, who takes off his prosthetic lips and tells me, everything you know is wrong. Black is white, up is down, and short is long. And everything you thought was just so important doesn't matter. Everything you know is wrong. Just forget the words and sing along. All you need to understand is that everything you know is wrong. I was walking to the kitchen for some golden grams when I accidentally stepped into an alternate dimension, and soon I was abducted by some aliens from space who kind of looked like Jamie Farr. They sucked out my internal organs and they took some Polaroids and said I was a darn good sport. And as a way of saying thank you, they offered to transport me back to any point in history that I would care to go. And so I had them send me back to last Thursday night so I could pay my phone bill on time. Just then the floating disembodied head of Colonel Sanders started yelling, everything you know is wrong. Black is white, up is down, and short is long. And everything you thought was just so important doesn't matter. Everything.
everything you know is wrong. Just forget the words and sing along. All you need to understand is everything you know is wrong. Evil twin, when I got a nasty paper cut, and well, to make a long story short, it got infected and I died. So now I'm up in heaven with St. Peter by the pearly gates, and it's obvious he doesn't like the Nehru jacket that I'm wearing. He tells me that they've got a dress code. Well, he lets me into heaven anyway, but I get the room next to the noisy ice machine for all eternity, and every day he runs by screaming, hey! Everything you know is wrong. Black is white, up is down, and short is long. And everything you used to think was so important doesn't really matter anymore, because the simple fact remains that everything you know is wrong. Just forget the words and sing along. All you need to understand is everything you know is, everything you know is, everything you know is wrong.
Making the internet absolutely ridiculous. DementiaRadio.org.
This is the part where there's feedback.
Feedback.
Feedback. You know that segment of the show we do about now?
Feedback. Feedback.
Feedback.
Feedback. First of all, I don't know what happened, but all of our iTunes reviews are gone.
Weird.
I just logged into iTunes and it says, be the first to review. I'm like, no, I wasn't the first, really. Insane. So I don't know what's going on there. Obviously a glitch of some kind.
Ian said something earlier today about Nerd Songs having disappeared off of iTunes. So
really?
I don't know
if
that's connected in any way.
Something's going on. Anyway, we do have a comment from Computer King. He says, who do you guys think makes the best background tracks for funny music? Is it harder to do parody backgrounds or originals?
Well, let's see. How about Chris Mazalesta of Power Salad?
Yes, Chris does awesome work.
Speaking as a professional degreed musician, and I'm not doing Professor Frank. I was maybe harking back to Jerry Lewis and the Naughty Professor, but that is neither here nor there. Well, when you compose original music, you have that added dimension of you got to come up with everything. I would have to say it's easier to, if you're doing a straight parody of something, it's a little harder to do a style parody, because again, not only do you have to write your own musical material, but you also have to make it fit something else. And my puppy Spencer is ripping apart a cardboard box while I'm talking. Will you cut it out? Okay, anyway.
Yay!
Yay, puppies. Yeah, my vote would be the hardest would be for the original stuff. And also because you have a lot more available to you as far as, MIDI files or even karaoke things, various degrees of legality. But
unless the music you're copying is like really complicated or something, and they use like some obscure sound that you're having a hard time reproducing or something like that. But generally, it's a little more difficult to come up with original music than to copy somebody else's music with a parody. But Bob Emmett also does awesome background tracks.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure to mention Project Sisyphus. Yeah. Bob right now is working on something that I, feel – it's like I feel bad because, I wrote it, but it's going to be awesome. But he has a lot of work ahead of him in the next week. Chris, are you helping him with that?
Luke is the taskmaster, and as soon as I'm finished here, I have to provide Bob with a little bit more work on said project. So, yeah.
Oh,
are you the one who has the distinct honor of auto-tuning my vocals to get them somewhere near the key?
No, I've not heard. I'm not aware of anything like that having to be done. Is that something? Okay. No.
Devo,
no, I've,
well, you know, I did my verse in the middle of the song, but I also did, you know, the chorus singing throughout the song. So, I mean, I haven't the slightest idea how well that came out. I mean, I listened to it, and it sounded okay to my half-tone deaf ear, but, you know.
Well, you know, there are going to be many other voices around yours, so perhaps.
And that's what I'm hoping.
3/4 of them are going to be me, I think.
Yes.
I've sent him 16 voice choruses, and sometimes a 16 voice chorus answering another 16 voice chorus. So Salad's been a busy salad doing many tracks for said project.
And I played that demo little mix that you made for Carrie when we recorded her stuff, so that she could figure out what few parts she could sing to have female voices doing other parts. Because
oh yes, please, yes, so, I like female parts.
So yes, so do I.
I like female parts too.
I sent Bob Emmett about 8 of Carrie's female parts. But we should also mention Jared Ringgold of Possible Oscar and the whole Turn It Off crew there. They do awesome work. He has parts that you can hear about on the scope.
And Robert Lund.
Robert Lund. Ben Stahl of Insane Ian and the Musicians fame does some great work.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's many.
Yeah, he did the music for me for my Eminem parody, Not Amused.
It's just cool. I mean, that's part of the reason I did that whole going back and doing old ideas thing. It's like, wow, I actually have access to a lot of different talented music makers so that, you know, nothing is impossible anymore. I can, you know, find somebody amongst my handful of friends who do that type of thing to, you know, create the music I need. So
yeah, I mean, if I didn't have access to Chris, I never would have gotten Enhanced done, because that background sample, I just could not reproduce it.
Yep. So, was that it for feedback?
That is it for feedback.
I'm assuming we can't tease anything yet.
I don't even know. What the hell's coming up on Friday?
I know what
Friday.
The next two are, one isn't done yet, and the other one is also not done yet. My voice appears in both of them. At least I assume my voice will appear in...
Yeah, Friday and Tuesday, neither of those are posted yet.
Yeah, so but... I know they're being worked on. So
I signed up for one, but I gotta do it.
Yeah, I gotta do stuff too. I just got so much crap to do.
There's a decent number of FUMP acts who basically that's how they make their music, is they will sign up for the slot not knowing what they're going to do, and then as it gets closer they figure that out. And sometimes it's like, well, gotta come up with something, you know. So in fact that might have been why Kyle chose to do this Barney the Purple Ranger. But
I've done that a couple times myself, just because I didn't want to go too long without, you know, posting a song. So I claimed a slot, and then I was like, all right, I will have a song done by this time, you know. And then I was like, well, here's the ideas I'm working on. It could be any one of these, and then I just do it.
Yep.
And some people are just so prodigious that it's sometimes it's hard to get a FUMP in edgewise here. Yes. That's why I signed up for a slot thing. Well, I've got the song. I've got Craig sent me the lyrics. It's just being that I am, you know, the one man band here. It takes a long frickin' time to do a Power Salad song, and I sure would like to do another album. Maybe by if not Con on the Cob, then maybe next MarsCon if I'm
allowed back.
to do another Power Salad album. But in the meantime, there'll be a FUMP coming up in June. And Spencer is eating something else. Okay.
Well, for more info on that, go to powersalad.com. powersalad.com. Assuming it's still working, as Sarah, the web mistress, types things. And
Sarah, can you fix my... No, no, it's okay. I got it figured out. But I hate WordPress. God, I hate WordPress.
You do?
Yeah, I'm not a WordPress fan either.
Aw.
I love WordPress.
Yay!
I put something in, I hit save, and nothing happens. But that's because I'm web challenged.
Well,
that's why I get people like Sarah to do it, and you can get her at sarahtrice.com.
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Or web stuff.
And then let's...
Oh, I want her for other stuff.
Yay!
Yeah, like funny hey. Voices on...
I got dibs on her girl parts. So Steve Goody does music at stevegoody.com, and then there's TV's kylesband.com, and then Sarah says something.
Devo Spice, he's so dreamy.
Yeah.
Bubble up. See him licking that ice cream.
Bubble up, baby.
It's Food Network After Dark. That's so going on the Cirque du Soleil next album. It's awesome.
It totally is.
Yes, it totally is.
I hate it.
It totally is. I love it. How could you not like that sketch?
I'm embarrassed because I wrote about sex.
I'm playing it right now. No, I'm not. But that will just whet the appetite of the Cirque du Soleil fans who are demanding another album. They're demanding it.
And it's not like somebody keeps asking them every 6 days or so. Who wants a new Cirque du Soleil album?
It's almost like a nuclear puppy. Like, can we do another album? Can we do another album? Yes! We are! Calm down!
Well, again, if things hadn't happened earlier in the year, we would have had an album by now, but it just became nigh impossible for me, but it is not anymore.
Word. So we will make things happen.
Yay.
And so we've plugged everybody's everything. Anything else, Devo?
Nope.
Anything else, Chris?
Hey, it's Spencer the Subnuclear Puppy is eating my SD card holder. Yay!
Yay!
Let's do a sketch about that. Never mind.
All right. Well,
thanks, guys.
Until next time, I'm Luke Ski.
I'm Devo Spice.
And that's Sydney the Puppy.
Spencer. Thank you for listening to the Funny Music Podcast.
Hey, that's
me. You can listen live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, at DementiaRadio.org.
Unless it's
and
Tuesday.
And join us in the chat. Or subscribe to the podcast feed. Look us up on iTunes and be sure to leave us a review. Feedback
like
from
money.
The show can be sent to info@thefunk.com. The Funny Music Podcast is a production of FIDEM Interactive, LLC, released under a Creative Commons share-alike license. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Shout it to random people on the street. And be sure to visit thefump.com for the latest funny songs. Tune in next week where you'll hear Luke Ski say,
Sydney the Nuclear Puppy! Meow, 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 Sydney the Nuclear Puppy!